Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. As we said earlier, Mayor-elect de Blasio has scheduled an announcement for 11 o'clock. We will be keeping our eye on that. And if he announces a new police commissioner, as a lot of people are expecting him to do, obviously you will hear it here, so stay with us here on the Brian Lehrer Show for that. But we have a lot of other things to talk about, too, including part two of Meet the Editor. Yesterday, we heard from Politico editor Jim Vandehei about their relaunch of Capital New York. And today I'm joined by Adam Moss, the editor-in-chief of New York Magazine. They have just announced that they'll cut publishing of the print edition frequency starting in March from almost weekly, which they've been since 1968, to every other week plus three special issues. So in these days of instant publishing through the web and social media, does anyone still mark the time by when a magazine lands in your mailbox? Welcome back to the show, Adam Moss.
Hi, Brian.
And I guess a lot of people learned about this first by reading about it in David Carr's New York Times media column. So what kind of feedback are you getting to the news?
Well, all sorts of feedback. I mean, it's been gratifying that almost all of it is
love.
Sympathetic love. It's very kind, some people feel a great sense of sorrow about this, which I have to admit I did too when we first made the decision. But I've had a lot of time to get used to it, and I'm actually pretty excited about what we're doing. And I think some people understand that actually we're going to make a better magazine out of it, and that this will help us also strengthen our digital publishing, which is like a gigantic part of what we do.
And I think it's important, at least from what I understand about New York Magazine, to put this in its proper context. And you tell me, because you're the one who really knows what the proper context is.
Okay.
But this is not Newsweek. New York is not a magazine that's failing. And you become a digital powerhouse in New York with a massive online presence. And from what I've heard reported, New York Magazine, the print edition, makes money. So is this retreat, is this shrinkage, or is this something else?
No, we don't think of it as shrinkage at all. We think of it as a great advance. We're going to take that, giant digital operation that we have and really put a lot of fuel on it and grow it more. At the same time, we have not even remotely given up on print. We believe in print. We love print. And what we're doing is, creating a way to ensure that the print magazine is published for years and years.
Because that's what might be sustainable?
Yes, that's because that's economically sustainable. And also, even more important, I think it reflects the way people read now. People are being deluged with information from us, from Politico, talked to yesterday, from thousands of websites and other media, social media. There's so much information coming at them all the time that what we wanted to do was really sort of separate reading experiences, so that we have what we do on the web, which really we're just publishing new material every 5 minutes. And then what we have is the more deliberative magazine. And we've really taken the challenge of trying to understand what do people want from print these days? What is a print magazine that can last? And so that we have we are doing a much souped-up version of the weekly that we do. It would be more visual. It would be deeper. It would be more substantial. It would be more durable. Hope to be more enduring.
Listeners, if anybody wants to call in for New York Magazine editor Adam Moss, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a question online at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. From what I read, you're not going to change the subscription rate. So you're going to be charging people the same amount of money per year for fewer magazines. Are you afraid people will give it up because they won't think it's worth
it,
that much per? Yeah.
Well, I hope they won't. The truth is that you'll still be getting 29 issues for about $29. That's a dollar an issue. That's a pretty good bargain. And that is for a magazine that that is actually sort of bigger, better, deeper, richer, bolder, brighter magazine than the one you're getting right now. So it's, you know, we think it's still a great deal. Other publishing companies, magazines, newspapers, et cetera, have gone and asked the readers to pay just a little bit more. And that's what we're doing. We're asking them to pay a little bit more. Just while I'm on the radio here, I thought I would also plug that you could also just for $20 get it exclusively digital. Get the same magazine with all sorts of fabulous digital capabilities. You can listen to music on it. You can watch movies on it. And that's cheaper still. That's under a dollar an issue.
And that's the challenge for so many news organizations that were sort of pre-internet. You know, Tina Brown, who was credited with reviving The New Yorker in the 90s as a print magazine, bringing it up to date in certain respects, tried to resuscitate Newsweek by combining it with The Daily Beast, and that failed. Now she's announced that she's leaving publishing altogether. And it's a person power puzzle, right? How to produce for print or air and add in the web without spending more than you're going to take in through web advertising in your case. And yet the advertising online doesn't seem to follow the number of readers you have online in the way that it does in print.
Yeah, well, it's a business model problem, definitely. But it's not a problem of reader interest and appetite. Actually, we have way more readers than we ever had in the history of this magazine.
This is the great irony of the digital age, right? It's true with the New York Times, for example, as well. There are more people reading New York Times content than ever before.
That's right.
And yet their business model is challenged.
Which really has fundamentally to do with a shift in advertising. More than it does with journalism. Journalism is, you know, it finds new forms. It's very exciting that it keeps finding new forms. That's one of the things I love about the business these days. You can tell stories in all sorts of different ways, with video, with animation, with multimedia, and with old-fashioned print, or old-fashioned long-form stories, which, by the way, more and more of digital companies are gravitating towards. So there's all sorts of wonderful things happening in journalism, and yet the way that magazines and newspapers and print products have always supported themselves is mostly through advertising. And advertisers are trying different things too, and that's obviously challenging for something that has the cost of a print magazine.
Is it that people don't react by buying in the same way after seeing an online ad that they do when seeing an ad in a magazine or a newspaper?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, obviously my position is the retreat by some advertisers from print is a mistake. But it is it's their business, and it is the way they choose to spend their dollars. Certain advertising categories that have to do with environmental advertising, fashion, and the like are still very, very committed. Cultural advertising, the HBOs of the world, very committed to print advertising. They recognize the value of a physical environment to advertise their stuff. Other places like cars have found other ways to advertise their products, and so that the real problem is that the cost of print is really it's very high, and so one tries to work out the puzzle that you described just before.
And this is WNYC FM HD in AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. My guest is New York Magazine editor Adam Moss. After their announcement this week that they're going to cut back to every other week rather than pretty much every week publishing the print edition. And Maggie in Brooklyn Heights are on WNYC. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. This is a great show. I'm glad to hear from Mr. Moss. I've been a subscriber to New York Magazine just about forever, I think. And I dropped my subscription this year because they dropped their theater listings and museum listings and all the things that I really depend on them for. And I did send them a note, and they wrote back and said, well, they're still doing reviews, et cetera, but it's not the same. And so I hope that perhaps at the digital – with the new digital, that they'll resume doing the listings for those of us who depend on them for it.
Maggie, you will find already on our digital operation that we have more complete listings than we ever had in the magazine. So go and I think you'll be satisfied. What we did in the magazine, please do consider resubscribing, is do a sort of curated version of listings and pick the 25 things of the week that are most important to see and do, et cetera. So we made the calculation that, that there were fewer and fewer people who were using magazines for movie listings and the like, theater listings and the like, but that the web, which has an infinite amount of storage and an amazing capability to filter, a sort of technology to filter what it is you're looking for, was the better place to put our listing resources in.
So Maggie, thank you for your call. I guess it's hard to do listings in an every other week magazine since that's the way you're going to go because it's so far out in some of those cases. Did the whole universe for listings change? Because New York Magazine used to have Q, right? Is that what the listings function was called? There was once an independent Q magazine, which was all listings.
Right. There was from when Clay Felker started the magazine, there was a listings function, and then sometime I think in the mid '80s, when Rupert Murdoch actually owned New York Magazine, they bought Q, and the magazine was thick with listings. Must have had like 30 or 40 pages of listings. Over the years, that had been winnowed down. But you know, this is really true for everywhere. Look at what the New Yorker, for instance, does with listings. I mean, everybody has pared down the listings that they do, largely because of the way changing ways people read and the changing ways that that people get service information, which is largely through the web.
And David Carr's article said there will be, quote, fewer of the smart aleck infographics in the redesigned version. That doesn't mean no back page approval matrix.
Absolutely
does it?
Not. The approval matrix is here forever. and in fact, we're not retreating from infographics either. We're just we are substantially increasing the amount of photography in the magazine. It will be a more, I think it's already a beautiful thing. It will be a more beautiful thing. It will be a thing you will want to keep. That's part of our creative challenge. It's something we want you to open up immediately, but also actually, last for 2 weeks.
I do want to note before you go that the New York media world just lost one of its legendary editors, and I saw that you attended Peter Kaplan's funeral. He was celebrated for his editing of the New York Observer and maybe more importantly for the journalists who he championed, some of the people who he brought to prominence. Is that what every editor-in-chief hopes to be known for?
Yeah, among other things. I mean, Peter was... Peter probably was the best magazine editor I know, though he never did properly have a magazine. He understood magazines better than anyone I know, and he was, I am not alone in feeling this way, but I always felt about him as a kind of big brother in this business from the first moment I started. But his greatest accomplishment, I suppose, has to be all the people he tutored and threw out into the world who will continue his legacy, as long as they're around.
What else makes a great editor if you're referring to him as the greatest or one of the greatest?
Well, I mean, in Peter's case, what was great about him was that he saw things and then he was able to sort of translate what he saw to, in his case, the printed page. And basically create a romance. he had a particular kind of talent, which was that he saw the world in very romantic terms, and he was able to conjure that world up through his publications and also his writing. I mean, one thing that Peter does not, I think, get enough, he hasn't gotten enough credit for in the last few days, although there have been just wonderful, wonderful things written about him, including something on our own site by John Homans, it was that he was also a wonderful writer. Which was another expression, writing was another expression of the rather wonderful way he saw the world.
Are you thinking of erecting a paywall, or do you have a paywall? I don't even know, to any of the New York Magazine content, because that was one of the things with Capital New York, now owned by Politico. We spoke to their president and CEO yesterday. People are going to have to subscribe to get some of the premium content there.
Right. We don't, you know, we talk about paywall all the time. Any media business does. But it does make sense for us right now because actually the truth is that our digital advertising is very strong. So that's a success. That's a very successful part of our business. And we want to give people, it's great for journalism, in my opinion, to be able to get your content out to as many people as want it, but it also happens to make great business sense for us not to put any barrier between the reader and the content because we can help pay for that with advertising.
So, Bill de Blasio, good for the magazine business? Does it matter?
Well, change is good for the magazine business always. So it'll be, you know, it'd be a great story to follow. You know, he will, I think, be a more, unpredictable mayor than Bloomberg was. It's just a guess at this point. The truth is we really don't know a whole lot about Bill de Blasio. We know a lot about his family. We know a lot about the hopes that people have projected onto him. We know what he signals symbolically. We don't know what kind of leader he'll be. I think he doesn't know what kind of leader he'll be. He's had relatively little experience of this kind of thing.
And we will be covering his announcement of, we thank his police commissioner, coming up in a few minutes once that starts. And we thank Adam Moss, editor-in-chief of New York Magazine. Thank you very much for coming on. Continue. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will look at the tug of war between Russia and the West over trade with Ukraine. Why not just money, but the future of democracy hangs in the balance. And then to the de Blasio announcement expected this hour. Stay with us.